Welcome back to the Jacob McLaughlin podcast and radio show, coming to you guys on this Tuesday, July 14th. It is a toasty one out, only 108, but this weekend it hit all the way up to 117. So I hope you guys are staying cool during this hot and heavy time. It's starting to become everything they told me about Scottsdale at Phoenix area. But the way I try to explain it to people, like especially in the Midwest, is it's our winter. So the next 3-4 months here in Phoenix are not the most enjoyable, pretty much from that time of like late May or mid-June, all the way to like right before Halloween. It can usually be pretty nasty. But the good thing about our summers compared to the winters back in the Midwest, you're still able to go outside, you're still able to go swimming, and you're still able to do all that fun stuff. You just have to either do it really early in the morning or in the evening, or you're just going to sweat a lot. So that is the fun of living in a place where on average it's like 110 during the summer, and the like low is like, I think right now it's like 87. So it's always just hot. But going into today's episode, I think it's something that will help a lot of people. It's because it's something I hear on a daily basis, all these different ones, and it's 13 fitness myths. So we're just going over the myths of what a lot of people hear and they think is true, and I just want to debunk them and tell you guys what the truth is, why they're fake, and all that good stuff. And again, a lot of these myths have come out just because of sales. You know, people will try to sell you stuff, and so they're going to tell you certain things. Or it's just coach from some place told their players this, and they made it up. And I've heard it a million times of like, well, they say something that's crazy, and there's no science behind it. It's just, well, that's what I was told. And the guy telling them didn't know the difference between pork and beef. So I digress. So we'll go into it. Number one myth, unused muscle turns to fat. Now, this is a common one I hear all the time from clients. You know, it's like you'll be talking to somebody, it'll be a lot of guys or women, it doesn't matter, but like they'll be talking and be like, you know, used to be pretty muscular and then I stopped working out and now turned to fat. But, you know, I just want to turn that fat back into muscle. And I'm like, well, it doesn't work that way. So just so you guys can understand it, you guys have muscle fibers and then you guys also just have fat cells. And so when you guys are having access, that is fat. And when you got, and then we also have the muscle fibers. So you can make muscle grow and shrink. You can have hypertrophy or atrophy. You can have those two things happen. But you can't physically turn muscle into fat and vice versa. So if someone just gains weight, they just gained fat. They didn't gain muscle unless you guys are working out and doing all that stuff. But especially if you lost weight, it doesn't mean you just lost muscle. Did you lose fat? We don't know. But that's the thing. You're not going to just be able to turn one into the other. They're two separate things. Like I said, when you have fat cells, that's where you store all your fat. So they're actually cells that will hold it in adipose tissue. And then you will actually have muscle fibers or your guys' muscle. So again, two different things. And it is the number one common myth that I hear from people is unused muscle turns to fat and vice versa. It's not the case. You can build muscle and lose fat. That is possible, but normally that's in a lot of untrained people who haven't trained that hard or their body's not used to that kind of training, because normally you have to be in a deficit to lose fat or get your body weight lowering, and you need to be in a surplus to be gaining muscle on average. Always trying to get stronger will help with that, but those are a big myth. Number two, you can target specific spots. Now, how many times have you heard, well, I'm wanting to work out and I've been doing great. I just have 5 more pounds and it's all just right here around my hips. I just want to do some side crunches and then it'll go away. And I wish it was that easy, but it's not. You can't just do an exercise on a certain spot and that will just lose all the fat. Your body will pick and pull where it decides to. For men, the last place your body likes to pull from are the love handles. And then for women, it's usually in that hip or thigh area. So again, my example that I use all the time is you could have abs you could have, or you could have some belly fat around your stomach that you just want to lose, and you do a bunch of crunches and you eat in a deficit and you just lost some in your legs. You lost some inches in your legs. That's where your body decided to pull from. It doesn't mean just because you're going to be doing all this different stuff that it will pull from that section that you think it will. So again, when you lose weight, it's just being in a deficit. You guys are losing fat, but again, you can't decide where your body is going to pull from. You guys just are going to be in a deficit, and your body will pull where it likes to pull. And like I said, for men, the last place it likes to pull from is usually the love handles, and women, it's usually the hips or thighs. Excuse me. And then we'll go in to number three. Muscle weighs more than fat. Now, this is something I want you guys to think about. If I had a pound of iron and a pound of feathers, I still have a pound of each. It's the exact same thing when it comes to muscle and fat. If you have a pound of fat and you have a pound of muscle, they still weigh the same. They weigh 1 pound. That's what it means. But what is the difference is muscle is more dense than fat. So again, it will be a much smaller. If you guys ever seen a picture, it'll show a picture of maybe this is a pound of muscle is like my wrist, or if it's my hand, and then a pound of fat is just giant compared to the other one. So again, it's not going to be the pound. It doesn't weigh more. It just might take up more room is the way to think about it. Number four, the scale is the best tool. The scale might be one of the worst tools, actually. What I tell my clients is because the scale only is going to just do weight. And the most common thing I'll have people do is they'll put pants on, they'll put clothes on, and they're like, oh my gosh, I gained weight. Well, if you take the pants and the clothes off, you're going to lose weight. You know, it's just the added weight. But the reason why the scale is not the best tool, every single day you guys eat, drink, you guys are going to have stress, which is going to have you guys hold weight, let weight go. There's going to be different things, your hormones, just everything that affects your body. And you can have one day where you look one weight and you look fluffy. And there could be another day that you weigh the same weight, but you look way leaner. And that's why the scale isn't a good reason. Just because you guys gain a pound or lose a pound, that doesn't mean you gained a pound of fat or lost a pound of fat. You might have just drank 16 ounces of water and you just went in and you weighed a couple more pounds than if you didn't on the other side. So that's where I just tell people, a lot of times they think, oh, the scale is going to be the number one. I go off two things. One, how you look, how you feel, because there's times I'm like, I get on the scale and I'm like 4 pounds heavier than I am, but I'm like leaner than I usually am. I'm like, okay, well, this is good. I feel better. If I never had the scale, I would never even known. Or vice versa, you know, just checking your body fat, you know, calipers are one way to do it. But again, the easiest way is just how you look, how you feel, how you look into the mirror. Are you looking watery? Are you looking fluffy? Are you looking a little better? And then also how you feel. Are you bloated all the time or do you feel good? Are you having digestion problems? I would make the tool of like how you look and feel. Again, you can get into the science of like, okay, we could do DEXA scans or bod pods and all that to check your body fat percentage. But body fat percentage will be a bigger thing, because what can actually happen is you can have clients weigh the exact same. Like I've had clients where they weighed the exact same, but they came in leaner. And so all that is we just recomped and we had their body fat go down, but they still weigh the same. And now if you were just using the scale as that measurement, well, then it would be considered a fail because they didn't lose any weight, but they actually did get leaner, which is always the goal for most people. So that's why the scale is not always the best tool. Going on to number five. Oh, this one is maybe my biggest pet peeve of them all. For women, if I touch the weights, I will get bulky. And the amount of times I hear that and I want to run my head through this wall is more than I can count. Because if you're telling me, this is how I want you to think about it. If you're telling me I pick up 50s and I curl those and I can't get my arms to grow and it's a struggle, but you, by picking up the 5 pounds, you just gain so much weight in your arms, then what am I doing? I've done everything wrong in my whole training philosophy. And so what it is again, when you ladies see those models, when you see the fitness models or the figure girls on stage, they all weightlift. They're all lifting weights. They're doing squats. They're doing deadlifts, whatever it is. They're actually lifting. But The difference is they, A, first off, they don't have the genetic makeup to even look like the girls you're thinking about. And B, a lot of those people that you're thinking about of, oh, they look like a man or whatever it is, a lot of times are on enhancers. Maybe it's testosterone, maybe it's something else. But you as a woman, just by picking up weights, you are not going to get all bulky and bigger than all the guys at the gym. That's not going to happen. What's going to happen is you're actually going to look better, you're going to get leaner, and you're probably going to recomp by using the weights. So again, that's always my big thing is like I hear this daily where it's like, oh, if I touch weights, I get big. And I'm like, you know what, then tell me why if I deadlift 405 and I'm still this little skinny guy, why I'm what I'm doing wrong, you know? So again, you can't just touch weights and you get big. That's not how it works. I wish that is how it works, but it's not. So for any woman that was out there thinking, hey, if I touch a weight or if I go weightlift, I'm going to look like a man, that's not going to happen. I promise you, I will bet my whole career on it because this is what I do and I see it all the time. So we will move on after that one before I put my head through a wall. Just thinking about all the comments I always get on that one. We will go on to number six. You need a gym to exercise slash weightlift. Now, if there was a time that showed this was false, it's now. COVID, right? Here in Arizona, they've shut down gyms. We don't have a gym to go to all the time. So that's where it's like, hey, can you do home workouts? Using your body as a barbell, Jeremy would always talk about, he's made programs where it's like, you don't even have to go to the gym anymore, where we can do, I can send you guys a program right now that's a 6-week program that it doesn't require any weight. It requires your body weight to get great workouts. Now, again, if you guys are looking to do more of the bodybuilding stuff, then yeah, we're probably going to need weights. Again, you don't have to go to a gym. You could just have it at your house. But you guys are going to need weights if you're trying to put on this crazy amount of muscle. But if you guys are just looking to stay lean, stay healthy, look fit, you don't need it. Just thinking about if you guys did 100 push-ups and you did 100 push-ups every single day in 365 days, how different your chest would look, right? Same thing with pull-ups, same thing with squats. My favorite one is if you guys have never done it, just do lunges. Lunge for 10 minutes nonstop, and that will take out, that'll be more intense than most of your guys' workouts that you guys have ever done with legs, with weights, by just doing 10 minutes of walking body weight lunges. So again, needing a gym to exercise slash weightlift, all that good stuff, you don't. You can use your body. Also have bands out there. You could grab some dumbbells, light dumbbells. You don't need crazy amount of machines that you would get at a gym just to get a good workout in. Moving on to number seven, I kind of touched on this earlier, but crunches will give you a six pack. No. Low body fat will give you a six pack. So what this means is everybody already has abs. That is something that we have, just like everybody already has a bicep or a tricep, what it is. But the difference of who's show and who's don't is the body fat percentage. In most case, for men, it's around that 12%. Women, it's a little higher. It could be like, I think it's about 17, 20%, maybe a little lower, maybe like in the 16. I have to look at that. But for men, I know it's 12% for sure where they start seeing it. Maybe even at 15%, you'll be a little higher where you could see the outline of the abs. But again, it just comes down to body fat percentage. So you could do a million crunches. You could do everything in the book to get abs. But if you have too high of a body fat percentage, you will never see your abs. Now, just the thing to think about, though, the abs are a muscle. So you can train the abs. They can become thicker. They can become bigger. But for them to show, it comes down to body fat percentage is all. Then moving on to number eight, the more you sweat, the better you work out. No. So again, I have clients come in, oh, I got a good workout because I sweat. Or if I'm sweating more, that means it's a harder workout. And that's not the case. For example, if I walk outside right now when it's 112 degrees out in Arizona, I'm going to sweat just by being outside. And then if I do any exercises, if I just jump or go for a jog, I'm going to sweat like crazy. That doesn't mean that workout was so much better than if I did it back in Iowa where it's 55 degrees or 60 degrees. No, it doesn't mean anything. It just means that my body was letting me cool down a little more because it's hotter here. And that's all sweat is when you guys are sweating, that's your body's cooling. It's like, it would be the equivalent of air conditioning, right? You're getting too hot. So your body uses the water in your body to cool yourself down. So just because you guys sweat more doesn't mean it was a better workout. Now, I'm not saying that it doesn't mean it wasn't a good workout. It's not correlated. Just because you sweat more means it's a harder workout. It could be way more humid. It could be more hot. There's a bunch of different factors that can come into it. Then going into number 9, this is a great one. Sport drinks are the best way to rehydrate. So a lot of times, especially with athletes, they all think it's Gatorade or they think it's all these different drinks, which again, I'm not saying they're bad. They're just not, I wouldn't say they are the best. A lot of times when we look at, like, if we're going to go into the electrolytes, we're going to go to potassium, sodium, what it's going to give you, a lot of people will think these sugary drinks are the best option, when in reality, going into like a coconut water is going to give you great electrolytes. It's going to give you back your potassium. One of the most common ones too is, if you guys have never seen it, it's Himalayan salt, and they call it soul water, where they'll put salt or the Himalayan salt in the water. The reason Himalayan salt is so good is it has actually 84 minerals and vitamins. So if you guys would put that into your guys' water, you're just getting more of the vitamins and minerals plus also electrolytes in that balance. With that said, it's not like you're getting 84 of like a bunch of ingredients. You're not going to get your daily needs met by drinking the soul water, but it's going to have more minerals and vitamins than if you went and just drank one of those sugary sport drinks. Then going into number 10, eating protein right after a workout or having a protein shake right after a workout. This has been proven to be incorrect a million times. If you guys ever look up Google, go to scholarly research, they actually have the research that shows that this isn't true, that your body isn't more adaptive in the next 30 minutes for your protein, that it has to have it, and that there's that 30 minute window. Otherwise, you guys lose all your gains that you just worked out and did at the gym. That's not true. What they have found by doing the research is that you guys, to be most optimal, would be you're depleted of your glucose during your workouts. So to have glucose put into your system, aka carbohydrates, put into your system within an hour of working out. So again, all that 30-minute window was a supplement guide to sell you protein. And now it's like, if you work out, I'm going to sell you protein, so you have to have it 30 minutes after your workout. Otherwise, your workout was worthless. That's just not true. Again, what they have seen is just when you do work out, you deplete your glucose stores, and so that they want you to get carbohydrates into your body to help restore those levels. So again, the protein right after workout is not true, but actually, if possible, you want to try to have glucose within an hour is what they have found. Then going into number 11, more is better. Working out 7 days a week is way better than working out 5 days a week. And that is not true at all. Because the more you work out, the more likely you are to get injured if you're never giving yourself a rest. Your body needs rest to recover. So the best way to put this is, when you guys go to a gym and you guys lift weights, you actually are making rips into your muscles. And then when you guys go home, you eat food and then you sleep, your body goes back in and it repairs those muscles. But if you never give it the time to actually repair, then you're just having all these rips and you're just getting yourself more worn down and more likely to get injured with that. Also, there's a lot of benefits with it, just also with the fatigue portion of it, but also just for your mental health of, if you guys are doing something every single day, it can take its toll to where you start to resent it or not even want to do it. Now, this is not me saying you can't move every single day. I think it's important. I move every single day, putting 30 minutes minimum. And again, instead of lifting 7 days a week, maybe 2 days out of that week, you do stretching and mobility, and then you go for a walk for 20, 30 minutes, doing stuff like that. That's where I think there's the difference. Instead of a lot of people I'll talk to, it's just they try to go as hard as they can 7 days a week, and then eventually there's a burnout factor, they get injured, something happens. So more is not always better in the case of working out. Moving on to number 12, no pain, no gain. This one takes me back to my high school days when people would get hurt and then coaches would be like, no pain, no gain, you got to push through it. Now let me just state, there's a difference between sore and hurt. If you're sore, you can push through that, right? If you did biceps and then you're doing a workout the next day and you're a little sore in your biceps, you can push through that. But if you're hurt, if there's an actual tear or there's something and it's bringing you to the point where you actually are almost crying, then you just need to stop. Because I have learned personally, when you guys will hurt yourself and you keep pushing through, all you're doing is damaging it more for a longer recovery. For example, my back, there'd be times I'd go out and do some back squats and I'd work it up to a heavier load and I'd feel my back tweak. And then I was like, okay, what I've learned is when my back tweaks, I have about 30, 45 minutes before it seizes up and I can't like even turn. But what I would do is I was like, I'd feel it go. And instead of just being like, okay, call it a day, start some stretching and get home so I can be all good, I'd be like, okay, I better go hard for the next 20 minutes. And what would happen is the time I would go hard for the 20 minutes, instead of just stopping, my recovery actually took 3 to 5 weeks till I was feeling good enough to go back, until, except when I did the one where it's like, okay, I felt it go right away, I'm going to take it easy and just go stretch, I was back within a week. So again, know the difference between pain and soreness, because if you're sore, you guys can work that out, rolling it out, stretch with it, and still get through a workout. But if you guys are actually in pain, that's not good. You don't push through it, because if you push through it, it's only going to hurt worse, and you're probably going to do more damage than good. And then let's move on to number 13, the final one of the day. You will see huge results in 10 days or under. Have you ever seen the get abs in 7 days, shredded in seven, or get 10 pounds in 10 days? It's all crap. It's all fake. It's all, again, just a way for people to make money to lure people in to sell their stuff. It's not true. And even like the wraps. The wraps are the ones that are the god awful, the worst, where they're like, oh, here, look at me in 3 minutes or 30 minutes difference. Now, if you guys don't know this, the wraps, all they do is displace water. So if you, it's the same if you take Saran wrap, you put it around your stomach and you squeeze it hard, it's just going to move the water out. And then that's why you see those photos. Oh, they lost 3 inches in the 30 minutes. And then if you took a picture 2 hours later, it would be back because it just displaced the water. But going on to the results, you can't see a difference in 10 days. Now, I'm not saying you can't lose any weight or you couldn't lose any body fat in that small amount or that small amount of time, but it's not going to be what you see on the internet where it's like a guy was 30 pounds overweight and he went and got shredded in that amount of time. That's just not realistic. It's going to take 3 to 6 to 9 to 12 months to get real big drastic goals. And it matters how much you're working out, how serious you're taking your diet, how serious you're taking your fitness routine, and then also how much progress you have to make and what you have to lose. I have had people in 6 weeks that were very overweight that have lost 30, 40 pounds in that 6 week span. Now, if you don't have 40 pounds to lose, then you're not going to do that, A. But B, those are also people who took it very serious. They were on their diet. They were working out. They went from not working out to working out almost daily. They were eating clean from eating crap. And so they made big lifestyle changes. But again, even in 10 days, it's not like they're like, oh, I lost 20 pounds. That just doesn't happen. It takes time to see results. It takes time to just form these habits. So if you guys see the next program you see where it's like 7 days to shredded abs, just know that's straight crap. Now, they might give you some great tips that after the 7 days, it could eventually lead to shredded abs. But it's not going to happen if you're at 15% body fat. Like I said, for guys, you're not going to get to 10% in 7 days. That's not realistic. If you are trying to do that, 15 to 12%, if you did that in like 3 months, that's really good. So again, and that might be even, that's pushing it. So again, you guys aren't just going to make these huge jumps and leaps in a small amount of time, but everybody knows that's what Americans and anybody, humans in nature, want is the easy, fast way. Or it's, hey, if I just suck it up for three days or 7 days or 10 days and I get the body of my dreams, then I'll do that. And the thing I just want you guys to think about, if that was the case, everybody would be shredded because everybody could take 7 days to not eat pizza and burgers and to work out. That would be the dream, but it's not. So everything takes time. Everything that's good takes time. And all these programs that are 10 days and under will not. Now, just going off it again, 30 days, 60 days, you could see a pretty decent change. Like I said, I've had clients do my 6 week programs and they've dropped anywhere from, you know, 30 pounds being the highest. And I've lost, you know, it could be 3-4 pounds. It just depends on the person. But again, up to 30 pounds, I have seen doing it healthy, still having time with family, you know, still eating right. So again, that is possible, but that's not realistic for 99% of people, and especially if you're just an average human being, because if you're super overweight, we have more weight to play with. But if you're just a normal human being, then it's probably not going to happen that way. But Those are 13 fitness myths unbunked. I hope you guys enjoyed. Please feel free to hit me up on Instagram if you need to at JM Fitness. Otherwise, you guys can like and subscribe to this video, and you guys can ask me any questions you'd like, and I'd love to answer them. Again, until next time, do something active, spend time with people you love, and live your life to the fullest. I'll see you on the next one. Peace.